WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Child care centers in Wisconsin and the families who depend on them are getting a lifeline. Governor Evers says he's directing $170 million in emergency funding to subsidize the Child Care Counts program for the rest of the current two-year budget cycle. He put out a video statement yesterday afternoon.
But I also want to be clear, while I'm hopeful this investment will stave off an urgent collapse of our state's child care industry, this is a stopgap measure and will still not make our child care providers whole.
The Democratic governor and Republicans who control the legislature are far apart on solutions to Wisconsin's child care crisis. The latest Republican plan would cut income taxes by $2 billion and expand tax credit for families' child care costs. Wisconsin Republican leaders are admitting they don't have the power to fire Wisconsin's top elections official. Nate Wegehout has more.
Last month, the state Senate voted not to reappoint Megan Wolf to another term as election administrator. State Attorney General Josh Call immediately filed a lawsuit calling for her to stay in the position. In a court filing Monday, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, Assembly Speaker Revin Voss, and Senate President Chris Kapinga said that the vote was symbolic. They added that Wolf is legally still in the position and that lawmakers have no power to replace her. Republican leaders have consistently called for her removal, with Voss saying as recently as Sunday that a committee should begin the process of replacing her. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
A bill to keep up American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee looks like it's on the fast track to passing. The full assembly plans to vote on the latest version of the bill today. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss calls it a good deal for taxpayers.
Two-thirds of the revenue comes just from the income taxes paid by the players are funding the upkeep of the stadium, so no taxpayer dollars are going in that wouldn't be here if the team left. So I think it's a really good deal that'll have strong bipartisan support.
That was Voss on Upfront on WISN-TV in Milwaukee Sunday. The bill takes $411 million in income taxes from baseball players. The Brewers contribute $100 million, and Milwaukee and Milwaukee County will each chip in $2.5 million a year for 27 years. More people are losing their jobs at the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh. 140 people are being let go, and another 76 are accepting voluntary retirement offers. That comes to one of every six UWO employees. The university is trying to close a nearly $18 million budget deficit. UW Oshkosh says the cuts will save about $15 million. No faculty members are being laid off, but 12 of the school's top administrators are. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin state legislature aims to get unregistered guns off the streets. These ghost guns are essentially untraceable firearms not marked with a serial number and typically assembled by the purchaser. State Senator Dianne Hesselbein and Representative Alex Joers reintroduced the bill after it failed to pass in 2018. Senator Hesselbein says she's working alongside the Middleton police chief to perfect the bill and reduce senseless injuries and deaths in the state. In court filings, Wisconsin Republicans have admitted that their vote to fire Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf last month was only symbolic, and they knew they had no true legal standing to take that action. State Republicans are still considering other options to remove Wolf from her position, including naming a replacement through the Joint Committee on Legislative Organization. They're asking a judge to force the Elections Commission to appoint an administrator no later than November 1st. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
A Packers defensive coach gets hot under the collar.
Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry has been receiving criticism again by the media. Barry was asked why would he have a linebacker like Preston Smith cover a top NFL receiver like Devontae Adams in their loss to the Raiders last week in Vegas.
Why didn't you ask about the other three catches and the 23 yards that Tay had? You just brought up that one catch.
Well, no, I was curious, not so much why Preston was under Virgin.
I wish it was that easy. You almost have to just, if you're pressing, you almost have to just survive the down.
The Packers head to Denver to face the Broncos Sunday. Denver struggling in the passing game, even though they have Russell Wilson at quarterback, head coach Sean Payton.
Well, look, it's hard to point to one specifically. You know, you want to have confidence in the pocket. You know, we need to find ways to get guys open. Typically speaking, that has to happen efficiently on on early downs. It can't be just on third downs.
Micah Parsons with a sack, an interception by Stephon Gilmore. And the Cowboys hang on to beat the Chargers last night, 20-17 on Monday Night Football. Mike McCarthy.
It's a good win, good road win. You know, we've had four in a row out of six games. You know, we split. We're 4-2. We're at the bye a little bit. It's been a roller coaster ride as far as how we've performed and our productivity.
College football, Wisconsin's Luke Fickell was asked, did Tanner Mordecai break his right hand against Iowa?
He did end up breaking his hand. Don't know exactly. I think he maybe came down on top of the helmet of that. Had no idea that that it happened.
Right.
And obviously thought he just kind of hit his hand, and as they went to the next play, he grabbed it to try to throw it out and realized he couldn't grip the ball.
Backup Braden Locke will take over at quarterback this Saturday. NBA, the Bucks are in Oklahoma City tonight to play the Thunder. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. Damian Lillian on playing his first game with the Bucks in that win over the Lakers.
It's always going to be a little bit of rust the first time you get back out there in the preseason. No matter how much you practice, it's just different in the game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. On a Tuesday, it is the 17th day of October. Welcome in, come on in, grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Let's go over some news and some sports and some weather. Hope you're having a good day so far. 7.5 minutes after 8 o'clock. And outside today, not too bad. Lots of sunshine, that's for sure. And some warmer temperatures in La Crosse today. Cloudy this morning, but then sunny this afternoon, high around 63 degrees in Eau Claire today, mostly sunny, high around 63. Richland Center, mostly sunny, high around 64. Amory, mostly sunny today, high around 62 degrees. And in Hayward, mostly sunny with a high around 58. So in sports, did you get to see any baseball last night? Man, baseball is great this year. The Rangers beat the Astros last night 5-4 to take a 2-0 lead in that series, the ALCS. And then over in the National League, the Phillies won last night, game one over the Diamondbacks, and that score was 5-3. In the headlines today, man, there's a lot going on. We'll try to get to as much as we can in the next couple of hours. We've got, first of all, a group of voters has asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to draw new legislative maps by next March. Also, at least two UW system schools have modified their diversity programs and offices in response to pressure from Republican lawmakers. A group of Wisconsinites are trying to restore grasslands in an effort to save grassland birds. And Republican lawmakers now admit that the firing of Wisconsin's elections chief was only symbolic and really had no legal effect, despite what they were saying last month when that vote took place. And in fact, I think that's where we will start today, with the effort to get rid of Megan Wolf, the head of Wisconsin's election commission, and someone that the Republicans blamed for the fact that Donald Trump wasn't announced as the winner of the election in Wisconsin in 2020. So I guess you have to blame somebody, right? Because something must have gone wrong. The elections were rigged, and it was her fault, evidently. But now it looks like they're backtracking on that a little bit. In fact, in court filings, they say it was merely symbolic. Let me give you a story here from the Wisconsin State Journal. And this piece was just posted a couple hours ago by Mitchell Schmidt. The headline says, "Vote to fire. Wisconsin elections administrator was, in quotation marks, symbolic. Republican leaders now concede." And this story starts out by saying Republican legislative leaders who last month voted to oust Wisconsin's top election official conceded in recent court filings that the Senate's vote to fire Megan Wolf was symbolic. And she is, quote here, lawfully holding over, end quote, as the Wisconsin Elections Commission's nonpartisan administrator. The lawsuit stems from Senate Republicans' September 14th vote to remove Megan Wolf from office, despite widespread disagreement over whether Wolf's appointment was legally before the legislature. Despite taking up and voting on the measure, attorneys representing Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, Republican, and Senate President Chris Kapenga, Republican, state in court filings that the vote to oust Wolf, quote, was symbolic and meant to signal disapproval of Administrator Wolf's performance, end quote. Attorneys go on to state that the vote, quote, thus had no legal effect on Administrator Wolf's status as a lawful holdover. And that is the end of that quote. But then here's a quote from our Attorney General, Josh Call. He said, "I'm glad they have finally acknowledged these realities, though it's a shame it took the filing of litigation to get to this point." Democratic Attorney General Josh Call, who sued the Republican leaders, arguing Wolf's appointment was not legally before the legislature. And that was in a statement yesterday, Monday. And Call continued. He went on and said, "Wisconsin Department of Justice will continue to pursue this matter in court to prevent any further unnecessary confusion about the WEC administrator and to protect the fair administration of elections in Wisconsin." So it's good that we have a Department of Justice looking out for the voters. A hearing on the matter has been scheduled for October 30th. The Republican leaders have asked the court to require the six-member bipartisan elections commission to, quote, promptly appoint an administrator for the four-year term, end quote, beginning on July 1st, 2023, the date Wolf's appointment expired. And here's another quote from that. It says, "irrespective of whether a vacancy exists." By refusing to appoint an administrator, WEC is, that's the Wisconsin Elections Commission, is casting a cloud of uncertainty over the integrity and reliability of our elections in direct contravention of its mission to ensure election integrity. That's what the attorneys wrote in the court filing, the attorneys for the Republicans. Wolf, Megan Wolf, has been the subject of scrutiny from legislative Republicans since the commission made changes to certain procedures in the 2020 general election in response to the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, changes that have spurred some conservatives to falsely accuse her of malfeasance. Again, the word falsely is important in that sentence. Some conservatives to falsely accuse her of malfeasance. Much of the Republicans' criticism over the state's 2020 election has been fueled by former President Donald Trump, who continues to make baseless claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 vote, a recount, court decisions, and multiple reviews have affirmed that President Joe Biden defeated Trump in Wisconsin by almost 21,000 votes. The Wisconsin Elections Commission in June split on a vote to reappoint Wolf in a bid by Democratic commissioners to block her nomination from reaching the Senate. The three Republican members of the bipartisan commission, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, voted to nominate her, and the three Democratic members abstained. Senate Republicans said the deadlocked vote actually constituted a majority, since the three commissioners who cast votes voted in favor of appointing her. However, in an email sent to a group of local Republican leaders and posted on the messaging app Telegram, LeMahieu said, quote, "If WEC doesn't reappoint Wolf or a replacement, the Senate would have no power to get rid of her through the normal confirmation process," end quote. LeMahieu's email referenced the 2022 Supreme Court decision that allowed an appointee of former Republican Governor Scott Walker to serve on the state Department of Natural Resources Board long after his term had expired, until the Senate confirmed his Democratic successor. So hours after the Senate voted to oust Megan Wolf, Josh Call asked a judge to declare that Wolf remains the commission's administrator. Call said he expects the matter to be concluded well before the 2024 presidential election. The lawsuit could make its way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which earlier this year shifted to a liberal majority for the first time in more than a decade. Megan Wolf has pledged to continue in her role pending a court decision. The Senate's Elections Committee voted earlier this month against confirming Democratic Governor Tony Evers' appointment of Joseph Czarnecki to the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission, sending the matter to the Republican-controlled Senate, where Republicans could vote to fire him. Czarnecki was one of the Elections Commission's three Democratic members to abstain from voting on Wolf's appointment, something Committee Chair Senator Dan Knodel, Republican from Germantown, called a clear dereliction of duty. The Senate will vote on Tuesday, that is today, on Czarnecki's appointment. If he is rejected, Evers has pledged to quickly name a new Democratic member to the agency and bring it back to its standard 3-3 partisan split. So Republicans finally admitting that the vote to fire Megan Wolf was not really legal. It was just symbolic. We were just showing our displeasure, evidently. We've got 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let's take our first break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 46. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers with a high right around 60. Thursday, a few scattered showers with a high of 56. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
My religion.
24 minutes, almost 25 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Music from Ziggy Marley on this Tuesday morning. Ziggy Marley, by the way, born on this date in 1968. Ziggy Marley celebrating a birthday today. And right now, 40 degrees in La Crosse, 36 degrees in Richland Center. And the next story that I want to get to here is about what's going on in the UW system. You know, there is a lot of pressure by Republicans, namely Robin Voss, trying to get the UW system to end its diversity efforts, close their offices relating to diversity, and shut down programs related to diversity. And he threatened to hold back funding if those schools did not end their diversity programs. Well, now there's been a little bit of movement on that. And what's going on is at least two of the UW schools are modifying their programs due to the pressure from the Republicans. I have a story here from the Associated Press with a headline that says Wisconsin Supreme Court asked to I lost the story because of an update on my phone. Let me see if I can get back to it. Hey, Sam, do we have some music queued up and ready to go? We can take our break and the host of the show can get back to the story that he lost. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
CBS News Brief. Israeli airstrikes are pounding southern Gaza, killing dozens of people near the border with Egypt, where they've been hoping to cross over ahead of an Israeli ground invasion. President Biden makes a rare wartime stop in Israel tomorrow. The National Security Council's John Kirby.
On the same day, he will travel to Amman, Jordan, where he will meet with His Majesty King Abdullah, the Egyptian President Sisi, and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett is backing an ethics code for the Supreme Court.
All nine justices, I mean, and we're in agreement about what to do, and that we want to continue to follow the highest ethical standards.
Justice Clarence Thomas has been called into question for failing to report lavish gifts and trips. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill would eliminate tipped wages in Wisconsin. As it stands, tipped workers like servers and bartenders can earn as low as a little over $2 per hour. Under the bill proposed by State Representative Jody Emerson, employers would be required to pay employees at least the applicable minimum wage. Emerson said, quote, "This is going to be something that is going to help those workers be able to have family-sustaining jobs and family-sustaining wages and keep some of these small businesses open that we have around here." The Madison man who was arrested earlier this month for bringing a handgun and an assault rifle to the state capitol while demanding to see Governor Tony Evers has been charged with a misdemeanor. 43-year-old Joshua Pleasnik was arrested for openly carrying a firearm inside the Capitol building. After being arrested with the handgun, he posted bail at the Dane County Jail and returned around 9 p.m. with an assault-style rifle. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Bye.
Yes, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 836. It's music from the Talking Heads. Yeah, those guys have been split up for, what, almost 40 years now? But their music still sounds cutting edge. Man, when that stuff was coming out, it was definitely cutting edge music at the forefront of what was going on at the time. And even though that band has been disbanded for almost 40 years, they're going to come back together again, at least for one night this Wednesday night. Have you heard about this? If you were a Talking Heads fan, I'm sure you did. But they're going to be on the Stephen Colbert Show, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Wednesday night. And they'll be discussing the re-release of their concert film, Stop Making Sense, evidently being released for the 40th anniversary of that movie. And I'll give you a little bit of this story that I found at relics.com. It says here that members of Talking Heads to appear on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Late night personality and talk show host Stephen Colbert has outlined the impending roster of guests joining him on The Late Show this week. Amongst the list of individuals are all four members of Talking Heads, who will sit down and discuss the latest revamp of their cult classic concert film, Stop Making Sense. The lineup of original band members, Tina Weymouth, David Byrne, Chris France, and Milwaukee's own Jerry Harrison, will be included in the forthcoming televised conversation. The favored rock ensembles coming together will occur as a result of the 40th anniversary release of the Jonathan Demme-directed movie Stop Making Sense, which is currently on an A24 theatrical run. The iconic movie resulted from Talking Heads' 1983 Speaking in Tongues tour, which Demme had seen and was inspired by. Afterward, he approached the ensemble with the idea of making the show into a film. They agreed, and working together over the next several months to finalize the presentation. I should say they worked together over the next several months to finalize the presentation, and ultimately, Demme filmed three concerts at Hollywood's Pantages Theater in December of 1983 to create the video. So if you're a Talking Heads fan, make sure you mark Wednesday night on your calendar. You'll get to see the band back together, at least in conversation on Colbert's show. Hey, so just before the break, I was going to talk about the fact that two UW System schools are changing their diversity programs now, following pressure from the Republicans, namely Robin Voss, to get rid of these diversity programs. Who needs diversity in our university system anyway, right? Hey, before I get to that, let me give you some updated temperatures. I have Amory at 34 degrees right now and Eau Claire at 31 degrees. By the way, Eau Claire just named as the seventh largest city in Wisconsin, moving up two notches from number nine. And so here's the story on the UW system at UW-Madison and UW-Whitewater. They are tweaking their diversity programs in response to pressure from Robin Voss and the Republicans. This story is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with a headline that says, as Republicans target DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, UW-Madison and UW-Whitewater adjust diversity programs and offices. This piece was just posted this morning, and it says at least two University of Wisconsin System schools have modified diversity offices or programming amid Republican lawmakers seeking to shut down DEI initiatives statewide. UW-Madison adjusted a mandatory online program for incoming freshmen and transfer students that covers diversity and other topics. A question about white privilege has been framed more broadly and is no longer tied to a specific race, according to a review of program materials obtained by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. At the UW-Whitewater campus, the Office of Student Diversity, Engagement, and Success has been dissolved. Employees who work there are now working under different offices, but have the same job responsibilities they did previously. Quote, "Nothing has been closed," UW-Whitewater Chancellor Corey King told the Journal Sentinel on Monday. "It's just work being reimagined and restructured." The changes, however, worry some within the campus community. UW-Whitewater Assistant Psychology Professor Brandon Thomas said the moves amount to capitulating toward the legislature's, quote, "regressive policies and attitudes," end quote. And at UW-Whitewater, they reorganized student support programs. Universities across the country are grappling with a national Republican campaign to dismantle diversity, equity, and inclusion programming on college campuses. Republicans claim the offices are a waste of taxpayer dollars with little impact. Students, however, said the offices play a critical role in helping them find a sense of community on campus. DEI programs support a broad range of students, including student veterans, students of color, and students with disabilities. In Wisconsin, state lawmakers in June cut $32 million, and by the way, we should say Republican state lawmakers in June cut $32 million from the UW system budget over the next 2 years in an attempt to eliminate nearly 200 DEI-related positions. Democratic Governor Tony Evers used a partial veto to save the jobs in July, but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has vowed not to release the withheld funds until UW campuses purge their diversity programs. Voss has also threatened to withhold pay raises for UW system employees unless the programs are cut. Against this backdrop, UW-Whitewater reorganized its diversity office, moving student activities to a place where many student organizations are already physically located. Programs previously housed within the diversity office, such as several scholarship programs for students of color, are still part of the university's academic affairs division. No employees lost their jobs during the restructuring, Chancellor King said. King said he's communicated his commitment to DEI to lawmakers. He denied the legislature was the driving force behind the changes. And here's a quote from the chancellor. He said, "I understand the optics. However, this has been an ongoing conversation for us since my arrival in March. The focus for us here was really to move toward inclusivity and belonging and focusing our students' success, increased retention, persistence, and graduation rates. To me, the programming where we use DEI terminologies will still be used across our academic colleges, our offices, or other spaces." The changes were first reported by Madison TV station WKOW. King told the station the legislature's conversations on DEI played a part in the reorganizing. Thomas, the psychology professor concerned with the changes, wonders how students will know about programs meant to help them if they are hidden inside larger offices with more ambiguous names. Thomas, who is of mixed race, said he received a postdoctoral fellowship intended for underrepresented students of color. He said he wouldn't have known to apply had the program not been so explicit about who it supports. King said all the program names familiar to students, quote, "are still there and still vibrant," end quote. Let's see. There's a little bit more to this story I'll get to after we take a break. Let's go ahead and take a break. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 46. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers with a high right around 60. Thursday, a few scattered showers with a high of 56. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Mile in my shoes. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 8:51 right now. It is 30 degrees in Hayward and 41 degrees in La Crosse. And speaking of walking a mile in my shoes, just before the break, we were discussing the diversity programs in the UW system and the fact that at least two of the schools now have adjusted or changed their diversity programs because of pressure from Republicans. There is a course that incoming freshmen and transfer students must take called Our Wisconsin. And evidently, Republicans got all worked up because the Our Wisconsin course talked about the fact that whiteness, being white, is a form of privilege. Okay. White privilege. And Republicans don't like to hear about that. So they wanted the university system, the UW system, schools to remove this course so that the white students don't have to hear about whiteness being privilege. The fact that being white is a privilege. Let me give you a little bit more of this story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that we were going over just before the break. It says UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin met last spring with Robin Voss, who raised concerns about the required Our Wisconsin course. Students who fail to complete the program are barred from enrolling in classes for the next semester. Voss's office received complaints about a question asking if whiteness is a form of privilege, according to Voss spokesperson Angela Joyce. And then Voss said, quote, when students go to orientation at UW-Madison, they are required initially to admit their white privilege, he said during an October 7th interview on Capital City Sunday. Excuse me, he went on and said, they go through an indoctrination before they even step foot in a dorm room. That is not what we expect of our taxpayer-funded universities, end quote. The online course, Our Wisconsin, now defines privilege as, quote, the set of advantages that a group gains when another group is stereotyped, stigmatized, or otherwise oppressed, without tying the concept to any specific identity group. Mnuchin committed to reviewing the program after speaking with Voss, according to UW-Madison spokesperson John Lucas. But the revision to the question on privilege was not in response to Voss. An outside company called Vector Solutions develops and updates the program's content, Lucas said. UW-Madison can offer supplemental context to add on to the existing program, but cannot change Vector Solutions content. The question on privilege came from the company, not from UW-Madison. Documents obtained by online news outlet Madison 365 show one addition to the program is students learning hate speech is protected speech. UW-Madison made the change this spring, Lucas said. It was part of the university's custom content, not Vector Solutions. Quote, I'm glad to see the university focusing on educating students on their First Amendment rights. It's a good start, said senior MGR Govindarjan, who represents most of the UW-Madison campus on Madison's city council. And he said he would like to see the university add more information on protesting rights, but hoped the additional focus on free speech would not come at the expense of fostering inclusivity for minority students. UW-Madison also tweaked how the program is described on the university's website. So evidently, even though they say they're not doing this in response to Robin Voss and the Republicans, it kind of seems like that, right? 855, make that 856 now. Going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.